that your word is there with us, Lord. The living word and the written word is there with us, Lord. And I thank you for it, God. Lord, we hide your word in our heart, Father, that we do not sin, that it will direct us and guide us and help us. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint each person, God, and get us ready for the growth that is on its way in the name of Jesus. The church said, have you noticed that we've had right many visitors coming in lately? And that's just an awesome thing. And I'm looking forward to them coming in again and again and again and staying and God doing something special. Amen. He's in that kind of business. Amen. He does that kind of work. And praise God. Hold on just a second. I got that. There you go. And I'm scared to touch it because if I touch it, everything changes. I was telling you, that time that I was doing that wedding, and the first time I even tried to do it with the book, and as I'm doing it with the book, I got it opened, and I got it here, and I went to go, I was taking one finger and moving it, and the other finger hit it and skipped the page, and I almost forgot to put the rings on her fingers. Matter of fact, the groom kept going, and I said, "What is it?" And he said, "The rings." I said, "Oh, praise God, thank you." No Etch-A-Sketch. I remember the first Etch-A-Sketch I had, and we didn't have a whole lot of money. Daddy went to a rummage sale and got me an Etch-A-Sketch, and only one knob worked. But Dad said I could draw the best straight line anybody in kid the block. Okay, here we go. You constantly and continually deliver messages that reveal the true disposition of your heart. It's not just what you say, but the way you say it. And listen, the way you say it, the way you listen to others, the way you look at others. Your communication originates not in your mind, but in your heart. I want you to remember that. If you can't remember anything else, remember this. Your communication does not originate in your mind. It originates in your heart. That's why so many people have such a hard time communicating. Okay? We talked about it last week, where here's your emotions and here's your logic. And if both of y'all, your emotions are high, you cannot communicate. If one of your emotions is high, you still cannot communicate. You have to have logic. Logic has to be high by both of you in order to communicate. But the difference is, if both of your emotions are high, there's no way. You just need to stop it because it's not going to work. But if one person's logic is up while the other one's emotions are up, at least you can try to help control it so you can bring their emotions down. And how do you bring their emotions down? Here's how you do it. We talked about it last week, of course, how to bring the emotions down. But here's another way here to realize that when we're talking, what actually we do when we talk. You know, I hear people talking, they don't even realize. I hear them talking, and they don't even realize that they're tearing people apart or tearing situations apart or really hurting somebody while they're talking. I see men and wives sitting side by side, and they're talking to somebody, and the person they're talking to, they begin to actually cut down their spouse or cut down their children right there in front of them. And if they're not careful, they're going to tear them all to pieces and then wonder why the spouse is upset with them when they walk out. Well, that's because you just tore them all to pieces. You cut them up. So this is very, very, very important. So watch this. The characteristics of negative communication. Remember Sunday we talked about stewardship. And stewardship, we always talk about three areas, but I added a fourth area last week. That is time. We need to be good stewards of our time. Also, talent. God gives us talents for a reason, that is to lift up one another and to help bring people to Christ. And then our treasure. We have to be ready with our treasure to be able to give back to God. And we're going to talk a little about this week when we're talking about stewardship on Sunday. But also last week it was testimony. We have to be stewards with our testimony. How do we use our mouth to communicate, and how do we use our mouth to talk to one another? Because, you know, sometimes it comes out of your mouth or my mouth like a feather, but it's received by the other person like a brick. To you, it's just something very small coming out, but the other person, it can slap them so hard that you shut off communication with them, either for short periods of time or for a long period of time. I remember one time there was a lady that was a good friend of my grandmother's and a good friend of the family, and she was so close that after my grandmother died, we even called her grandmother. And I remember one day, I don't know what exactly she was thinking or what she was doing, but she wasn't even in the conversation. She had nothing to say about the whole thing. And me and my brothers were arguing. And she come up as me and my brothers are arguing, and she says something arbitrary, contrary, kind of rough to me. And you know, it took me until I found Jesus Christ again, because I backslid, I was way out there. It took me years. Once God got a hold of me, it took me years before I'd even speak to her because of that one sentence. One sentence. And so when you're talking to people that do not know Jesus Christ, especially those people that don't understand this, some people you will shut off indefinitely. You know, Rick was talking about it Sunday night. There was this time I invited a guy to church. The guy kept telling me he's coming, and he told me 10, 15, 20 times, I'm coming, I'll be here this week, you can guarantee it. He lived two houses down from the church. He said, this Sunday morning, I said, you lie to me all the time, bro, you just lie to me. I won't use all that stuff now. It's a whole different way of talking I use now, but now, I said, you just lie. He said, I'm not lying, I'll be there Sunday morning. Sunday morning came, he weren't there. I told the pastor, we're doing Sunday school, I said, I'll be right back. I'm going to go get us another person, another family, I'll be right back. I walked in, he was in bed. When I came in to talk to him, he covered his head. Said, I don't want to talk to you this morning. I said, this is like the 20th time you lied to me again. He said, man, I don't talk to you. I said, get up, we're going to church. And I started tugging on him. He wouldn't get up. So I turned his bed over and threw him in the floor. Talk about evangelism. I turned around. He was cussing me. I turned around and his wife said, if you don't mind, you can leave our house now. And it took a long time before I ever got to talk to him civil again. Now we're best of friends. But during that period, there was a period of almost 10 years. He wouldn't talk to me. So now, again, we have to guard ourselves and watch ourselves when we're communicating. So here it is. Watch this. I put it down here so nobody can say, well, this ain't for me. Watch this. Every person must plead guilty to some, I didn't say all, to some violation of God's ideal for communicating. Because without thinking, we attempt to meet our inner needs by speaking or responding in ways that intimidate or destroy. The following words and ways are verbal and nonverbal negative communication habits that serve only to wound and to wrong others. And if we're doing it, ask God to help you. If you find yourself doing this, ask God to help you not to do this. How many like talking to your kids, and as you're correcting their kids, they do this? Watch. Oh, I did too. Mama always told me she's going to make mine be still. She said, I'm going to make yours still. I'm going to put them back in your head and make them be still. That's right. My mama did not like us doing this. Oh, yeah. Or the worst thing of all I think I ever did was she was looking at me like this, and I reached over on the bed, and there was her mirror was on the bed, and she was going. And I went, I held the mirror up over her face. And I said, I'm going to get you back with those rays. I got more than a look after that. I got my bottom end tore up. Okay. So many ways that we can do stuff that actually winds up hurting to us when we do this. Watch this. When we go, you don't realize it, but that's your body's way of letting off emotional steam. You know that? That's what it is. Look, yeah, it'll get smacky, but watch this. Watch. This is the letting off emotional steam. You don't even realize it. Watch. Or this. Or this one. You are letting off emotional steam. And if you didn't do that, you might blow up. But you got to understand, when you're seeing somebody, do not look them in the face and go, okay. That's right. That's right. So here we go. That's right. So every person without they can attempt to meet their inner needs by speaking or responding. Here's that responding. You know, in ways to intimidate or destroy. The following words and verbal or ways or verbal and nonverbal communication habits to serve only the wound and wrong others. Here it is. Words that wound. Now, I'm gonna read these out to you. Words that wound. A wise man's heart guides his mouth. Now, what in the world? A wise man's heart guides his mouth. Back when I was a young person, especially a teenager, I had this very dreaded, deadly disease. And that dreaded, deadly disease was constipation of the brain, diarrhea of the mouth. My daddy said, son, somebody's going to kill you. My mama said, it's going to be me. And so I said, Lord, help me to learn to get my mouth under control. He did. When I got saved, everything changed. But it didn't just change like that through training. I learned it. So watch this. Galatians 5 and 15. You can turn there if you'd like. Galatians 5 and 15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. The New Living Translation says, but if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. That word bite means literally biting and devouring one another. That word bite means literally to wound the soul. To wound the soul. To cut with your mouth. Your approach. To wound the soul. You can tell just as good when somebody's suffering from depression because they have a wounded soul. You see it on their face. You can tell also when you're talking to somebody, you might be talking to somebody and they're going back and forth and maybe hitting back forth with you. But as soon as you wound the soul, all of a sudden you see a whole different look on their face. A wounded soul would be like this. Watch, they're going back and forth and all of a sudden they just go. And you shut them down. They're not going to talk again. They're just down. They got that wounded soul. So it says, if you bite and devour one another, you wound each other's soul. And that word devour means to consume. It means literally to drain emotional strength from somebody else. So if you find yourself in an argument with somebody and now you find yourself losing, so all of a sudden now you can bring in other stuff, reinforcements. You can bring in all kinds of stuff. You may even, you know, it's like, one lady was talking to another lady in the church, and she said, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. And she said, I can't. She says, come on, tell me more. She says, I've already told you more than I heard. When that happens, watch this. You've actually wounded the soul, and you have drained their inner strength. And so now, one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to put their tail between their legs emotionally and they're going to walk off, or they're going to throw away all the stops and attack. Right? It all depends on how they handle it. A strong person, when it happens to them, a strong-willed person, they usually will attack. But somebody that's not a strong-willed person, a lion will attack. But a golden retriever will just shut down. A beaver will attack. But an otter, they will shut down also. And so sometimes you may have them shut down for quite some time. So you got to watch this thing. So now, here we go. Words that wound. Be careful how you talk, what you say, how you respond. You know, because I'm telling you, you roll your eyes or you just, you know, pound the table or whatever you're doing. If you're not careful, you will shut down communication. And if you use negative communication and you shut down communication, the Bible says that an offended brother is harder to win than what? A strong city. Think about Jericho, how powerful that place was. Think about some of the places here around the Pentagon. You know, how powerful this stuff is around here. And it says, try to get in there and do something. You're not going to do anything. But guess what? I remember after 9/11, when President Bush gave his State of the Union address, I walked outside. I don't know about y'all, but I walked outside as he was giving the State of the Union address because people said some people even said he was crazy to do it because of terrorists. And he said, no, I'm going to do it. He even went out and threw the first pitch at the first baseball game so people could see that he was not afraid. But I remember as he was giving his State of the Union address after 9/11, I remember walking outside and I could not even count the jets that were flying back and forth. I know what they were doing. They were patrolling the area. Okay? So again, it's easier to break in. They're having a State of the Union address tonight. It's easier to break into that State of the Union address tonight than to win back over an offended brother. So it's very important. That woman, bless her heart, she'd been nothing but good to our family. But that one sentence she said, shut me down. And I did not want to talk to her until God worked on my heart. And now I talk to her. When I see her, I talk to her. I hug her. But it wasn't until God worked on my heart. And that guy tossed out of the bed. He didn't talk to me for 10 years. And the first time I saw him, I said, oh no, this is not going to be good. And sure enough, when I got around him, all was taken care of. I apologized to him. He said, and of course, he said the customary, oh, there's no apology necessary. Yeah, there was. I threw him out of bed. His bed on Sunday morning trying to get him to go to church. And I didn't just throw him out of bed. I threw the bed on top of him, the mattress. I picked him up, threw him in the floor. You could hear him go, boom. And I took the mattress and threw over top of him. Wow. Yeah. So here you go. So it's the words that wound. A wise man's heart guides his mouth. All right. Now I'm going to show you. So here they are. Here it comes. Here's the words. The words we're going to talk about. Number one, degrading words. How many like to be degraded? I mean, how many like the thought of somebody thinking they're just better than you when they know more than you? And nothing you say is going to work, and nothing you say is any good, and they just always seem to be degrading you. It's thoughtless, insensitive, teasing, wisecracking, critical, coarse, tactless, inappropriate words. Here is one of the examples. Surely, you don't believe that. Or, you know what? I don't care what you think, because you know what? I don't even think you're thinking. When you do stuff like that, here it goes. Biblical example, Proverbs 12 and 18 says, Proverbs 12 and 18 says very clearly, very appropriately, it says, reckless words pierce like a sword. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Remember, when you bite and devour one another, you literally wound the soul. Remember, the spirit is the life that's given to you from God, but the soul part of us, that's pneuma, the part that God gave us the life. But then the soul, the word for soul used in the Hebrew is psyche. It is your way you think. It's what makes you up. It's what you are. And so when you wound the soul, you change the way the person thinks. So you've got to be very careful. Very, very careful. Have you ever noticed husband and wives, y'all are fighting? Excuse me, y'all are discussing? And as you're discussing, one hurts the other's feelings. You probably didn't think of it this way, but this is what happened. You wounded their soul. Or they wounded your soul. And watch this. Y'all are going at it, and one of them's soul gets wounded, and they just walk off. And they may get passive-aggressive action back towards you, get all kinds of things of this nature coming back at you. And as you finally go to them and rectify it by apologizing and saying, you know, I just stuck my foot in my mouth. I really didn't mean what I said. You know, I am so sorry. Will you please forgive me? I will do anything to take it back, but I can't. But I can't. I can't do anything about back there, but I can do something about moving forward. I can't change the past, but I can start a new present. Can we start over again? And then you kiss and make up, and all of a sudden that person is looking like this, is smiling at you. Because you had such a close relationship, The closer the relationship, the easier it is to wound the soul. But also, the closer the relationship, and you got God in it, it's easier to mend it back. All right? So here we go. So Proverbs 12 and 18 says, those who speak rashly, like a piercing sword, or like the piercing sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Wow. Have you ever heard somebody just talk, and as they talked, you felt better? Just talking. You feel better. Because now you know, like when I'm counseling people, a lot of times I've never really given them an answer. What I did give them was hope. I say, you know what? I understand what you're saying, and let me see if I can understand what you're telling me you're going through. And as I find out what they're going through, and I say, now what do you see as your way out? And they go, all I see is A. And I go, you know what? A is an option, but A is a terrible option. There's a B and there's a C and a D. And if you would take that B, C, or D, you'll find yourself a whole lot better off. And I remember not long ago, I had a person come to me that had a wounded soul. And this person came to me, this wounded soul, and they honestly thought that they were stuck with this wounded soul for life. And I told that person they did not have to be stuck with that wounded soul. And I began to show them some ways to get out of it. And when the person left, the person said, well, that makes sense, but I don't know if I can do it. I said, you can't do it. God can. And I saw the person the next day. A couple of days later. And the person came up to me and was just smiling and a jumping and a bouncing. And I said, well, what in the world's going on? And they said, you know, I was used to doing A, and you told me to do B or C, and I did B and C, and said, I feel so much better. Matter of fact, I am excited again. People can't get over this, but you got to be careful what kind of words that you use. So degrading words. Here you go, demanding words. Again, I put a whole list down here for you. Demanding words. That's when you're ordering, threatening, arguing, cursing, accusing, probing, that's angry words. The top is inappropriate words, degrading. Demanding is angry words. Here's an example. You'd better do this now or. That's angry. What about? I'm so mad at you right now, I could pull every hair out of your head, stuff them in the back of your pants, and kick you. Of course, Stephen wouldn't be too hurt. Amen. That's right. You started that, brother, not me. All right. So now, anger words. So here's the biblical example. Anger is cruel, and fury is overwhelming. Think about this. Anger is cruel. Or wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? I'm going to give you another one. Wrath is cruel. Anger is overwhelming. Is an overwhelming flood. But who's able to stand before this jealousy? So this is tough. Especially when you use this to one of your people in front of somebody else. What that does right there, you may have a spouse that you talk that way to all the time. You know, I had an uncle one time that talked to my aunt all the time, just like this. And you know what? She just let it run off her back like water on a duck's back. But I started noticing when I got a little older that it was just, when I was just there, it weren't so bad. But when there was a lot of people sitting around and he talked like that to her, I would watch her, hold her head down. And I would see it, just cringe. Again, wound her soul. So, there's degrading words. There's demanding words. Then there's demeaning words. This is demoralizing, preaching, lecturing, judging, criticizing, disapproving. These are condemning words. You know, I had a bad habit until I learned it. I was actually doing counseling training back in the early 90s. And when I was doing this counseling training, I ran into this gold mine. And that was, I'd be upset with my wife or be upset with my kids or something. And I go, I love you, but you're driving me crazy. I love you, but I don't trust you. I love you, but. And then I learn. Don't hook I love you with anything. And so now it's I love you. And I let it sink in. And now I say, well, now that you know that I love you, now we're talking about this and that, and that, can we talk about the problem? Is it okay to talk about the problem now? If it isn't, we'll wait. But one thing you got to know is I love you. You know, I've told DC and Daniel so many times, you know, it's almost like if I pulled my hair out every time I told him this, I would not have a hair on my head or my mustache. I wouldn't have a beard. I'd have nothing. When I say, I'd have an eyelash, nothing. I say, boys, I love you so much. You know, y'all were just awesome. I really love you. And then then I let it settle. And I say, now, can we talk? And here they go. Watch this. Watch. You know, and DC, you got to understand DC. DC and Daniel, they're alike. They got a lot of talent alike, but they're still so different. Back in high school, Daniel was more into the sports and DC was more into the girls. Daniel was still into the girls. Daniel had more girlfriends than DC, I think. But Daniel was still, when he got older, he was still concentrating on his sports, wrestling and stuff. I remember watching the Christmas parade when we were in Williamson, the school Christmas parade, and as it's coming by, Daniel's marching. And here comes a girls' club. What's it called? Some kind of girls' club, business leader thing or something. They come by and it's all girls. And they got this float. And I'm looking. All of a sudden, I see this guy on the back of it. He's doing all kinds of crazy mess and cutting up. And I said, what is a guy doing on a girl's float? He's even wearing one of their shirts. And when it come by, I looked and I said, no, it's not. It can't be. It was DC. So I followed him, cutting up all the way to the end of the parade. He got off the float, tore the shirt off, gave it back to him, and said, had fun, girls. Those boys understood that Daddy separated his love. His love and compassion at one point, but then corrected with love and compassion at another point. I never connected. Well, I love you, but you're driving me crazy, because that honestly says, well, do you really love me? Here we go. The meaning words, you should do better than that. You know what I learned a long time ago? Used to, Mama would just give me a dime for an A and a nickel for a B, and that was it. And I think that's how it worked. And you know, and then I didn't get the money anyway. She said, well, we'll get it next time. You know, so I never really got the money. And DC and Daniel come along. I said, you know what? There's got to be a better system than this. I've got to reward them and also show them that it's serious business. So I said, okay, I'm going to give you $1 for every A. 50 cents for every B, a quarter for every C. I'm going to take away a quarter for every D, and I'm going to take away 50 cents for every F. I said, so the decision's yours. Of course, those boys wanted that money better than they wanted that F. Amen. You should do better than that. Biblical example, the tongue has the power of life and death. Everybody knows that. You can speak life to people. You can speak death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Destructive words. Gossiping. Repeating rumors. I remember on Hee Haw, they said, we're not one for repeating gossip, so you better listen up the first time. How we go? You better listen close the first time. They're not going to repeat it. They're going to tell it, but they're not going to tell it but once. Repeating rumors. Confidences. You know, it's amazing to me in the church world, and it's not been so much here, but I remember early on, I was going to church and somebody would take me to the side and say, now I really need you to pray about this. I'm not, please don't tell anybody else. It's so embarrassing. Don't tell anybody else. I said, okay, I won't tell a soul. And I can walk into church and be told by 10 or 15 people before I get to the front. And I go, wait a minute, who's telling me? And what I found out is, the person that told me not to tell anybody, he's telling it. And some of the other people he told not to tell is telling it. I'm being secretive. I'm keeping my mouth shut. I'm coming up and I'm hearing all this. And I'm thinking, why in the world did he tell me not to say anything if they're going to tell it like this? So again, it's important. Belittling, blaming others. You know, I've seen so many people would rather blame somebody else for whatever the problem is, not take on responsibility, but they want to blame somebody. It's not my fault. I told them different. It's not my fault, so it's theirs. All right? So here it is. Example. She never arrives at work on time. Or, be sure not to repeat this, but did you hear? What I do, when I hear somebody say that, here's what I do. Especially if it's deadly. I'll say, you know what? I got this. And I go to the person that they're talking about. And I say, please tell me what's going on. I heard somebody talking about another minister just a few years ago. They were talking about another minister. And so, you know what I did? I called up the minister. He said, what's up? I said, obviously you are. And he said, what's the deal? And I said, I need you to tell me. I'm hearing all kinds of things. I need you to tell me. If you don't want to tell me, that's fine. But if you don't mind, tell me the truth so that I can be somebody that can stop you. And that person said, thank you so much. When you're at work and you hear a rumor about somebody, go talk to them. Say, look, is that true? Is that really what happened? Because when it comes to me, I don't just want to stop it. If I've got some truth that's actually gonna help, I want to be able to say some truth. Sometimes it's just simple. Just say, no, I'm not going to talk about it. But if you can't get past that, if you can get some truth that's going to help, no, I'm not going to talk about it, but I do want you to know this. That did not happen that way. And you don't need to be telling everybody this. And that's so awesome. So again, example with the mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor. That doesn't mean that if you're not saved, you can destroy your neighbor. It means to act in a godless way. To act in a godless way. Take God out of the picture. Spread that whatever you're hearing. And as you spread it, wow, it grows. Who was it that said this? Said you can tell a falsehood or a rumor. And it'll go around the world by the time the truth's still putting on its socks. So, and the final one, deceitful words. Lying, false statements, exaggerating, bragging, boasting, flattering, insincere, untruthful words. First is inappropriate words. Second is angry words. The third is condemning words. The fourth is slandering words. You know, I never actually knew this man, talking about slandering, but I knew this man, not knew this man, but I knew a friend of this man. There was a preacher who this woman told on him. He lost his ministry, his family, he lost everything. This guy, this is like 40 years ago. This is 40 years old. This story is 40 years old. And it's nobody from around here, so it's a 40-year-old story. When I heard it, they were from up in Virginia, on up north. But they said that they told this story on him, this girl. He lost his ministry. He lost his family. He lost his license. He lost his credibility. He lost it all. And on her deathbed, 20 years later, on her deathbed, she confessed that she had lied. Wow. 20 years later, he went through 20 years of trying to prove himself. And she held on to that story until her deathbed. And then she tells how it actually happened. He's off the hook. But you know what? He's not off the hook. For 20 years, guess what he lived with? So now, deceitful words. Lying, false statements, exaggerating, bragging, boasting, flattering, insincere, untruthful words. Examples. Here's a false statement. Well, I never really get angry at anyone. Okay, Mother Teresa. Either maybe Mother Teresa got angry. My goal is to benefit others in any way I can. When they start telling you this, here's one of my favorite ones, and I say it too. I'm guilty of saying the same thing. How many has ever come up to you and said, well, this is none of my business, but? When somebody tells you this is none of my business, but get ready because you're getting ready to get kicked in the butt. It's so important that we weigh our words. Man, is it important? You know, I don't imagine they care if I tell it because they were right here Sunday. Dakota was in the back row, and we had a state patrolman here Sunday. Okay? The black guy was a state patrolman. He's the guy that helped with our parade. He actually pulled Dakota and gave him a ticket just a little while back. So while Dakota comes up, his mama goes to the patrolman and says, I hope he didn't say anything inappropriate. If he did, I apologize. And he apologized to the patrolman. As I'm walking back with Dakota, Dakota said, that is an awesome man. He's awesome. And then as they walk, I said, Lord, how much more can you arrange something? Dakota hadn't been here in a year. That patrolman's never been here. They're here on the same day, sitting behind each other, one in front, one behind. How awesome is God? All right? So again, it's, and I'm not talking out of turn. I'm not gossiping. I'm not telling stories. That's what happened, and you'll hear it. You'll hear it again and again. I know you will. Dakota's not going to mind me telling it. And, of course, the patrolman's not going to mind me telling it. But that's what happened because I wound up hearing it from four or five sources afterwards, all the good stuff that was coming from it. It's good stuff. So now, biblical example. Here it goes again. A deceitful tongue. Proverbs 15:4. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit, or it breaks down the spirit. We learned about it earlier tonight. When you break down the spirit, again, this is a type of wounding the soul. Wounding the soul is actually changing the way you think. Crushing the spirit is actually hurting your attitude. How many's ever had a good attitude till you saw somebody that you knew had hurt you earlier? And you're walking on having a good time. You see that person that had hurt you and never apologized for hurting you, and all of a sudden you go. I've been with people walking with them, and we're going along having a good time talking. And all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, how's it going, preacher? Going good. What's going on, man? I see the person saw me go. And we can talk. Or just start looking around. I go, look, look, you go ahead and talk to him. I've got some stuff to take care of. And then I go back to that person, and I find out from that person, well, that guy hurt me, and we never got it right, and I really don't want to be around him. And so when I get around him, it makes me so angry. And so I just think it's better to keep my mouth shut. They have a crushed spirit. And so, remember, here's the wounded soul. Watch this. Here's the wounded soul. Here's the crushed spirit. So it's so important that we pay attention to these things. Watch these little signals when you're talking to people. When you're talking to them and all of a sudden they start acting different and acting funny, watch them. Watch their facial expressions. When you see their facial expressions, you can start knowing. You go, oh no, I just wounded their spirit or crushed their spirit or I just wounded their soul. And it's bad and I need to repent before God. And I need to ask them forgiveness. I tell you what, the sooner you ask forgiveness and once you realize you've done that, the sooner you ask forgiveness, the easier it is for them to accept your apology. But if you wait and wait and wait and pile stuff on, it takes forever to accept that apology. So the quicker you understand to see it, the better off you are to go on up there and say, look, I blew it. I'm sorry. I didn't realize what I was saying or what I was thinking. You know, I did this to my mother-in-law one time, Beverly's mama. Beverly's mama got to where she couldn't hear at all. Now she wears hearing aids, but at the time she was getting where she couldn't hear at all. And I remember I was sitting in the house one day, and I told her something 5 times. And she kept saying, what? What? She's cooking. She's got the stove going, the cooking fried chicken or something, and the boys are running around hollering like a bunch of little batting roosters. And she's asked me 5 times. I got tired of answers. Here's what I did. I said, I told you. Number one, I don't know how to do that anyway, but I was doing all this like I was signing to her. I watched her go from she wouldn't talk to me. I wounded her soul. I went to her quickly. And I looked at her and said, Mom, Grandma, whatever I called her. I said, you know what? I just did something very stupid. Will you please forgive me? And I promise you, I'll never do that again. Ever. And she had to think about it. It took a few minutes. And she said, we weren't like, okay, let's go have party time. No, she went, okay. Yeah. But you know what? I never did it again. And I didn't care if she asked me 25 times. I would sit there and I would answer her till she got it right. And I learned also to never treat anybody else that way. That taught me not to do anybody that way. So somebody asked me 25 times, I will tell them 25 times this is what. Why? Because I learned when I crushed or pierced or damaged her soul by just doing something, I was just trying to be funny. You know the only person that laughed that day? It was me. You know how long I laughed? Until I saw her face. And then I've seen my boys. My boy, you've done it with your kids. There's one thing. You know, when you're training them and showing them and teaching them, it's another thing when you've just had it, you've come in, you've had a bad day, and they come in and they're trying to love on you and trying just to show you affection, and you just keep pushing them off and pushing them off and pushing them off until they just, you know, I remember I was working at Procter & Gamble, and I was pastoring church. I was working swing shift, pastoring church. And I honestly did not have time to breathe. I could not even breathe. And I remember DC kept asking me, and here's how it comes back to you. DC kept asking me to help him with the Boy Scout project. And I kept saying, well, son, let me get through with this wedding, and let me get through with this. I've got to go to the hospital, and I've got to go on third shift tonight. I'm on second next time, and I'm on first. And when I get off a shift, I got to drive all the way to the church, and I got to do this and this. I said, if you can just wait. He asked me for 1 month every day, Daddy, help me with my Boy Scout project. Christmas time came, and I thought, now I'm going to have a couple days off. I can help him. So I'm getting ready to help him, and he's gone. I live behind my dad. My brother, who lives in Raleigh, was down. I walked over to my dad's, and there was my brother doing this project with DC. And I said, he said, what's the deal, bud? I said, I told you I'd help you. I'm just trying to get some time. You know what he told me? He said, oh, you go pray with some folks or go marry somebody. I said, me and Uncle Gary got married. It wasn't long after that, I quit Procter & Gamble and put my whole effort into the church so I could have some time with them, too. I'm here to tell you, when you wound somebody's soul, whether it's your kid, whether it's your wife, whether it's somebody in the church, whether it's a coworker, you can tell it whether you crush their spirit or wound their soul. Remember, the soul is how they think, and the spirit is their attitude. So when you see it either way, you need, and they won't tell you. Most time they won't tell you. You need to go to them. The Bible says this. Go to them and say, what have I done? Most of the time you'll know it. You'll know it. If you don't know it, what have I done? And what can I do to make this right? Because once you do, you'll see that spirit, fresh spirit, start inflating. Or you'll see that wounded soul begin to brighten up again. So you'll know when you hit pay dirt. This stuff is not easy. But you know what? This stuff right here is some of the gold that we get. If we can take Proverbs and read it every day and look at this stuff, and actually, it's there. I just took it and broke it down. If you take this stuff and break it down and use it, man, marriages get better. Families get better. Churches just flourish. Businesses just do so much better when people learn this stuff. Because now you're armed, and Satan knows that you're deadly to him. When I get up in the morning, when we get up in the morning, like I said, if hell has a post office, I hope our pictures are on. Satan says, this is one of my top 10. I want to get them out of here. Because they're causing too much problem for my kingdom. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're awesome. Your word tells us how to talk back and forth to one another, how to handle one another. It tells us how to communicate. Father, I really believe with all my heart with what I've been seeing in the last few weeks and what we've been seeing, I really believe that we're right there on the edge again. But this time on the edge, we're not just going to be on the edge. We're going to go all the way through to the other side. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us to be mindful of what we say, what we do, how we act, how we react is so important. Because if we don't learn how to communicate, we can become the weakest link in the chain. And if we hurt somebody, they can become the weakest link. Either way, the whole chain suffers because of strength. Ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us. Help us be ready, Father, for what's coming. Good things are coming. It was just as they were getting ready to cross to the promised land. They had that great old big Jordan in the way, and they had Jericho in the way. Usually the biggest problems are actually our transportation into the promised land. So, Father, I thank you for the Jordans and the Jerichos that we're facing, because I know if we keep a right spirit about it, it's our vehicle to take us into the promised land. Father, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And there's none like you. I ask you, God, to help us to be ready for what you're going to do in the name of Jesus. And the church said, Sunday morning, I know last Sunday when we started it, ABC's a stewardship, and A, of course, was attitude. B, first I was going to do belief, and now, of course, I was going to do blessing. Then as I was studying and went to belief, and now I'm back to blessing. So I'm just going to say, believe in blessings. Okay, believe blessings. But Sunday morning, and again, trying to find stuff that is not the common thing so that we don't just hear it and it just goes right past it, goes in one ear, out the other, but that we absorb it. Like last week, talking about the Good Samaritan and stewardship. Who would have thought about the Good Samaritan and stewardship? I mean, that's just awesome. an attitude. So this week, it's going to be blessings or it's going to be blessings or belief, but it's going to be with David after they built the temple or getting stuff ready for Solomon to build the temple. And how David said, blessings and honor and everything comes from you, God. It's all yours anyway. It's all yours, Lord. It comes from you. It goes back to you. And I want to get in that cycle. Get in that cycle where it's coming from him and I'm going to give it back to him. And you know what I found out? When I start shoveling out, God starts shoveling back. The difference is God's got a bigger shovel. I shovel out, God shovels in. Awesome. Y'all ready? All right. Brother Billy, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?